everybody, and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, the title will explain everything for you. It is the Animation Podcast. I know, I was surprised that it was that easy too. But specifically, it talks about the latest news that happened this week. So for today's episode, we are going to start things off by looking into the Mulan reboot that is now officially going to happen. Then we will be looking into the new director that Gigantic got itself. Then we will be going into VR with The Simpsons. Then afterwards, we got a voiceover contest for Yu-Gi-Oh! And finally, we got Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast, but you can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. So for our first story, it feels like we just cannot go through the week without getting one bit of news about one of Disney's upcoming live-action reboots that just broke the internet and suddenly everybody is going crazy. But it seems that with one of them, things are getting a lot more official. Now, if you guys remember last week, news broke out that apparently Disney wants to go and make a live-action reboot to The Lion King, and they want to get Jon Favreau to be the director, and plus, they want to keep it as a musical. Kind of like with what they want to do with the upcoming Beauty and the Beast reboot. But the news that we got for you this week is regarding one of the previous announced projects, but now it seems that it is greenlit, it is official, and now they are officially going with it. And this one is with Mulan. If you guys remember back in 1998, it was one of Disney's animated hits that they had. It was released during the tail end of the Disney's renaissance, after they released all their big movies like Aladdin, The Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and The Little Mermaid. And things are starting to wind down, but they're still relatively big hits. They're still something that always caught the attention of everyone, whether it be with Pocahontas, Hunchback of Notre Dame, Hercules, Tarzan, and of course we got Mulan. And looking back at it now, it's still relatively popular today. You still see people singing the songs of it, and it's still a relatively well-executed movie. Beautiful animation, a great story, and a lot of fun characters as well. But now it seems that Disney wants to go back into that territory and go back into doing Mulan. But previously, back when they made the announcement in March of 2015, they just went and bought a script done by Elizabeth Martin and Laura Hynek. But since then, by the way, I'm taking my source here through Entertainment Weekly. Is it Entertainment Weekly? Yes, it is Entertainment Weekly. Okay, that's good. It seems that they are rearranging a bit of the script with the help of Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver in order to mix some elements. It's not going to be a step-by-step remake of the 1998 animated film. They're also going to mix in some elements of the Chinese story in which Mulan was based upon. So they're going to take the Chinese poem of Fa Mulan and integrate that into this movie, on top of throwing in elements from the 1998 animated film that we all know. So the only things that we know about this so far is that they have released a release date. They announced that this movie is going to be out in theaters on November 2018, surprisingly enough, and that they are going to go into a global casting search. They're going to go all around the world to find a Chinese actress who would perfectly fit the role of Mulan. So this is something that they have previously done before. This is something that they have done in which to go and find the perfect Mowgli for the 2016 Jungle Book. So now they're going to do the same thing, but with Mulan. So maybe they're going to find a name that we could recognize, like Lucy Liu, or they could bring in an entirely new actress altogether. We'll just have to wait and see with what they're going to do in that department. Now, the idea of trying to adapt Mulan is actually pretty interesting, because in a way, when you think about it, Mulan is one of the more action-oriented Disney animated films. Now, of course, it still has that elements of the Disney formula that still makes it a Disney film no matter what. You still have the elements that, yes, it is an animated film, and yes, there are a lot of musical numbers into it, but this is one that it is focused a lot more onto the action, considering that this is about a girl who disguises herself as a boy in order to go and join the army for the honor of her father, so that he doesn't go. Her dad was absolutely weak, so she decided to go and take his place, so that he just doesn't go out there and immediately die during the training or in the battleground. So she decided to go and take his place. And of course, and also other elements that are from like Disney that they decided to throw in as well. Considering this is later in the Disney Renaissance, they have to include a comedic sidekick that mostly does a lot of improvisation and a bit of pop culture references as well by bringing in Eddie Murphy to play as Mushu. And you get a few other side characters as well. Like, you got a few sidekicks like Ling Tao Tao and Xianpo. I'm forgetting the middle guy for some reason. I just need to double check on it. If I may look into this little situation. I apologize, people, by the way, that I suddenly forgot about this. It's just something to help me out. Let's see. Xianpo Ling Yao. Okay. I knew it was an Ao something. Like Tao, Yao, Mao. Okay, yeah. Ling, Yao, and Xianpo. Thank you. Okay, good. So, what is it? Okay, so let's go back into Mulan. Let's go focus into this. And how the fridge are they going to bring in Mulan onto the big screen? Like I said before, this is one of the more action-oriented Disney films. So, honestly, this feels like this could be easier to bring into live action. So, of course, I can imagine that this is going to be focusing a lot more on the action than anything else. One thing that I can probably guarantee you guys is that, unfortunately, this will not be a musical, so they're not going to be singing a lot of the songs like before. The reason why I say that is because I'm starting to see a pattern. Whenever we would hear an announcement regarding these reboots, rather they be like Beauty and the Beast or The Lion King, they will tell us if it's going to be a musical or not. Like last week, they mentioned how The Lion King will be a musical and they will still have a lot of the original songs, like The Circle of Life, Hakuna Matata, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, Be Prepared, and all that kind of stuff. That will still be in the reboot. But in this bit of news right here, they never mentioned how there's going to be any of the songs that will be integrated in there. So what I imagine that's going to happen is that, best case scenario, it's going to be a little bit like what we got in The Jungle Book. But I don't think there's going to be any moments where they're going to sing specifically. Maybe I'm wrong, but the musical numbers will be put at a minimum, but we'll probably hear references in the score, kind of like in The Jungle Book, where you hear "Trust in Me" when we see Ka, or anything else. Like, we hear a bit of the Bare Necessities when we're with Baloo. Like, in the movie, it is possible, like, we'll hear small riffs of either Reflection or I'll Make a Man Out of You. And those are the two that I'm pretty certain they are going to throw into it. Or worst case scenario, they'll just sing it in the credits. Like, they're going to bring in a popular singer and they're going to sing Reflection in 2018. Because they know for a fact that they have to put it in. Those were the two biggest songs that were released at the time. More so than any of the other musical numbers, like Bring Honor to Us All, or what was the other one? A Girl Worth Fighting For. That I can absolutely guarantee. And they have to go and do some kind of montage where you actually hear a little bit of a song riff of I'll Make a Man Out of You, because that nowadays, it is an absolute fan favorite. In fact, that song right there is one of, so far, it's one of the most one of the most sung Disney songs from the Disney Renaissance. And this actually even includes the ones from the earlier times, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and The Lion King. You still hear a lot of people singing "I'll Make a Man Out of You" or make references to it. So that has to put, I can imagine Disney has to put in that element to satisfy many of the fans to make that kind of reference. But what is interesting, though, is that the biggest discussion that I keep seeing around is which characters are going to be included. Like, of course, they're going to have Mulan, and they're probably going to have Shang and a few others. But the one that is heavily discussed is regarding if Mushu will be appearing. And a lot of people are trying to say that there is a very high chance that he would not. Because keep in mind, they're not only going to mix the elements of the 1998 animated film, but also they're going to put elements of the Chinese story. And chances are, they're going to be a lot more serious with this animated film. They're going to make it a lot less of a comedy than it was with the animated film. So we might not really see Mushu going around. I can imagine they can do like in the 2015 Cinderella, where instead of actually having the mice and we got Lucifer, like, we don't have the animal shenanigans going around. Like, they just throw, like, they have the characters there, but they're just small references. And that's what I can imagine. Like, we will see Cricky, but he's going to be like a small reference. Like, in the beginning, Mulan's grandmother will probably give the grandmother will give Mulan Cricky as a cute little nod to the animated film. And we'll probably see some small elements of a little red dragon somewhere in the film, but we're not going to see somebody actually play Mushu. Or the worst case scenario that I can absolutely imagine is that they pull off like in Maleficent, where with Diablo the Raven, what they did in there is just basically turn him into a hot guy so that all the women can have just some stupid eye candy. I don't know. It's just like, that was absolutely stupid right there. It's stupid in concept and stupid in execution, I swear. Maleficent is just one of those movies that the more I think about it, the more that I find the writing to be absolutely terrible. Like, seriously. It's just, the more I realize the stupid decisions that happen in there, it is so ridiculous. It is a failure as a movie. It is a failure as a screenplay. There's nothing in the writing that works. It is absolutely dumb. Everything about Maleficent is absolutely stupid. Except for Angelina Jolie herself. She could have been a great Maleficent, but too bad she didn't have a good script to come with it. But anyways, that's enough about Maleficent. Let's go back to Mulan. So yeah, the worst case scenario is that they do something like in Maleficent and they turn Mushu into some random hot guy to accompany Mulan. But that is just worst case scenario, and I know Disney is a bit better than that, so they're not going to do something that is completely stupid. In fact, Linda Wolverton didn't even touch this. They actually got good writers in this with Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver. So at least there is that. So chances are, I don't think we're going to see Mushu in there. But what is actually very interesting about Mulan, though, is that Mushu is not the only comedic sidekick in there. The comedy is actually distributed with a few more characters than the usual animated feature. Because again, you got Ling, Yao, and Xianpo. And I might be in the minority of this, but I actually prefer those three guys than Mushu, actually. Because with Mushu, he's kind of like in that category of all the Disney sidekicks of that era that, you know, they're like, they want to be like the genie and Timon and Pumbaa. And like, he just follows that line where like you got Phil and Hercules, you got Victor Hugo and Laverne and Hunchback of Notre Dame, and then you got Mushu. So like, he's in the category of the pop culture spewing comedic sidekick that's in that same category that wants to be like, that's just following the footsteps of genie. But with Ling Yao and Xianpo, they're kind of their own comedic sidekicks, you know? They bring in their own fresh, timeless comedic material That is always welcome. Now, I'm not saying that I don't like Mushu. Mushu is a great character. But honestly, for me personally, I just prefer Ling Yao and Xian Po. So I think they're definitely going to be in this movie for sure. And they're going to help bring out a bit of the lighthearted comedy that is from the 1998 animated feature. So that's what I'm pretty much expecting, is that they might not have Mushu, but they'll try to make up for it by having the three guys be a bit of the comic reliefs of that movie. And other than that, it's pretty much all that I can think of, is that so far with Mulan is it's going to be a lot more action-oriented. It's going to be a lot more serious than how it was before, but there will still be a few comedic elements. But one more thing I would like to add that is actually very interesting regarding Mulan is the release date. And this is the first time that I see with those Disney live-action reboots where they actually released it in November. Now, when you look back at the previous ones, like Alice in Wonderland, Maleficent, Cinderella, and The Jungle Book, and even the upcoming Beauty and the Beast, they're all usually released during the springtime, like around March, April, or May, around that area. And it's actually quite intriguing to see that Mulan decided to go and take a step further, and they want to go and release it during November. Because the thing is, with November, that's usually when big studios would unleash the big guns. There's usually this long period during September and October where they would release movies that nobody really cares. In fact, the only film that anybody would care during that time in September or October would be that one space movie that everybody needs to go see, rather it be with Gravity or The Martian or anything like that. That's usually the regular theme that goes on with those months. But other than that, it's usually the movies that nobody absolutely care about. And usually they would release that one animated film. They would release that one animated film that in the long run, people are just going to forget and it's just meh. And they'll just simply move on. Like, it's the kind that nobody really... It's the animated film that would just happen. Sometimes it would suck. Sometimes it would be okay. But whatever. But then November would come in and that's when the big guns would come out. That's when Disney would unleash their big animated feature. That's when some superhero films would come out. That's when November... It's kind of like November is the month that is the revival of going back into theaters. So it's interesting how they would place Mulan into that area instead of going with the usual spring location. But, you know, this could be an interesting choice. But and plus the fact that technically Mulan won't be the only won't be the only Disney movie during that time, because considering it is November 2018, they're also going to release Gigantic. So Disney is pretty much prepared at this point to unleash whatever they got, considering how November, that's going to be the time when they got Mulan and then they got Gigantic. I don't think, actually, considering that it is 2018, I don't think they're going to have a Star Wars movie scheduled there. Maybe they will eventually, because I know that in 2018 is going to be the Han Solo spinoff film. Maybe they're going to reschedule it for December, and, like, at that point, Disney will pretty much dominate the end of 2018, but I don't know. But I know so far, it seems that Disney is going to take care of November 2018, they're going to take care of November 2018 no matter what. But as for Mulan itself, is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it a good idea to reboot this film now that it's actually official that they are going to do it? I'd like to know your thoughts. Are you guys excited for a Mulan movie? Do you think it's honestly a bad idea like Alice in Wonderland and Maleficent? But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see when the film will officially hit theaters on November 2nd, 2018. And speaking of Gigantic, by the way, there is actually an interesting bit of news that actually occurred. It seems that Gigantic wants to go and follow the same footsteps as Frozen. Now, this is one of Disney's animated features where it does follow the classic Disney formula, just like what Frozen did. They also brought in, who was it? Hold on, I'm trying to find it. Robert and Kristen Anderson Lopez as the songwriters, just like what Frozen did. But another step that they want to do, just like Frozen, is that they want to bring in a female director to be working on Gigantic, just like how Frozen did by bringing Jennifer Lee. But this time, they are bringing in a brand new director with Meg LaFauve. Now, Meg LaFauve, what is interesting about her is that she's relatively new in this business, but she already made some pretty big credentials with herself, considering that the only credits that she has so far is that she was the writer of, she was one of the writers of Inside Out and The Good Dinosaur. And now she is currently working on the script for Captain Marvel. But now, it seems that apparently she was also working on Gigantic. And, she was mostly just there to help things out. But apparently, her input was so fascinating and they loved her contribution onto the film so much, they decided to upgrade her job onto a director next to Nathan Greto, who previously worked on Tangled. Now, if I may go and take a quote here, let's see, which one should I do? Okay, so this is going to be a quote from Nathan Greto talking about Gigantic. It says here, "We hope this will be the definitive version of Jack and the Beanstalk, with comedy and deep emotion." And by the way, I'm taking my source here from The Hollywood Reporter, says Greno, who previously co-directed Tangled at the time. He also announced that Frozen writers Robert and Kristen Anderson Lopez will write the songs for the film. And that is basically the whole scenario of what's going on. And what's actually very interesting is that the article here from The Hollywood Reporter also added that Disney Animation has a history of pairing up directors during the course of making of the animated movie. In recent years, Chris Williams joined Don Hall on Big Hero 6, and Rich Moore partnered with Brian Howard on Zootopia. So this is kind of a tradition, in a sense, where they have one specific director to work on one of the animated films at Disney, and then suddenly another director comes in to help things out and to spice the movie up. But what I actually find to be really interesting is that apparently Disney is really helping out to bring in female directors onto their animated films. Now, if you guys may know, a female director who would work on a major animated feature like Gigantic is actually an extremely, extremely rare breed. In fact, nowadays, there is only one movie that ever existed that came from a major animation studio, and that is directed by a woman and one woman alone, without any help from anyone else, and that is Kung Fu Panda 2 with Jennifer Yu Nelson, which, by the way, is actually a phenomenal film. Like, one of the best, probably one of, if not the best, Kung Fu Panda movie. And some may argue that this is not necessarily as much progress as it is, considering that Meg LaFauve is technically going to be a co-director next to a man, kind of in the same, in the same veins, actually, of how Jennifer Lee is the director of Frozen next to Chris Buck. But this is actually really good progress. This is still, at the very least, a great step into the progress to achieve that women can be seen equally as men, and they are capable of making good and sometimes bad animated features as well. So, like, now it's nice that at least we can see how Disney is giving more of a chance for women. But one thing I would like to add, though, is that What actually does make it better is that they're not just bringing in any woman just to satisfy the social justice warriors, just like to say the fact that they brought in a woman, and that's pretty much it. They brought in a woman who is talented, who has credentials. Now, yes, I said before that she is relatively new in the entertainment business, but she still made herself pretty prominent, and she made a name for herself when she was nominated for an Oscar for writing Inside Out. So that is definitely worth something. At least now we could say that an Oscar-nominated writer is going to work on a Disney animated feature. And that's what makes Megalofove grand, is that she really made a name for herself for writing two Pixar films with Inside Out and The Good Dinosaur. Now, I know that nowadays some people could say a lot of crap regarding The Good Dinosaur, but let's face it, guys, it's not the worst animated feature that was released last year. I mean, sure, it's not as good as any of the other animated films that Pixar has worked on. You know, it's not, you know, it's not as good as, like, Finding Nemo or The Incredibles, WALL-E or Inside Out or what have you, but at the very least, you know, it's still relatively good. At least this is not a sign, you know, this doesn't say, like, oh, Disney Animation decided to hire some random crappy writer who previously did Strange Magic or Hotel Transylvania 2, you know? At least it's not that bad. Like, yes, it's not, like, The Good Dinosaur is not necessarily the best, but at least, it, you know, it's still a pretty good movie, and it's, and it doesn't reflect negatively on Megalofove's work. And apparently, it seems that her, what it said here, it seems that her contribution is actually so grand during the making of this that they decided to make her a director. So, at least, it promised us that this is a woman who is absolutely capable of directing an animated feature like Gigantic, which is going to be in the ever-growing line of the infamous animated films made by of the famous animated films made by Disney. So at least she'll be taking in the same she'll be going into the same steps as Jennifer Lee. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this goes. And, you know, I have confidence that Gigantic will come out as a great feature. And if Megalofove is going to come in and, you know, really bring Gigantic into a whole new level, then, you know, I'm pretty excited. You know, this might actually come out as another great project. This might come out as the next Frozen. Who knows? But we shall only know how well Megalofove is going to do with this film when the movie will be released during American Thanksgiving 2018. Now, for our next story, we are going to be talking about The Simpsons. Now, one thing that everybody can agree on regarding this show is that it has certainly passed its prime. Now, you might still be watching it now. Maybe you have not. Maybe you have given up on it. But regardless, we know that the show is still going on to this day. However, I will say that there are still two things that are still worth watching no matter what, and it can still be entertaining. And that is either the couch gags and the Treehouse of Horrors. And considering that I am recording this in October, now it's actually a good time that soon they will actually bring out the next Treehouse of Horrors, which is going to be coming out in 2017. However, it seems that they're going to do something a little bit special with this one. Apparently, the next couch gag for the Treehouse of Horror, Planet of the Couches, they decided to take it a step further, considering that not only is it going to be the 27th Treehouse of Horror episode, but it's also going to be the 600th episode of The Simpsons, and that is that they are going to take that couch gag into virtual reality. Now, going into my source here through IndieWire, it seems that Google decided to go and team up with The Simpsons in order to turn that couch gag into a full-on virtual reality experience. Going deeper into my source, the couch gag, Planet of the Couches, will be seen on TV as a normal 45-second short segment, but a full 3 minutes of material has been produced in virtual reality and will be available to be seen via iOS and Android devices via the Google Spotlight Stories app. Any Google Cardboard viewer can be used. In fact, as part of the event, Google is also sending out 25,000 limited edition customized Treehouse of Horror 27 Google Cardboard Google Cardboard viewers featuring either Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie on the side. Now, what is actually pretty interesting about this is that I was curious to know, like, how would this actually work? And I was thinking, like, oh, are they only going to put this simultaneously as the episode? But no, it seems that, like, you can leisurely check it out whenever you can, which is actually pretty interesting. But, you know, it's a bit conflicting when it comes to this. On one hand, it's actually a pretty cool idea that The Simpsons would actually take one of their Treehouse of Horrors and expand the experience by adding in virtual reality. You know, it really does bring in a whole new layer onto the Simpsons and see how that would work. And considering, like I said before, the Treehouse of Horror episodes are still worth watching even to this day. So, you know, it's actually like kind of an extra bonus by adding this into it. But on the other hand, I wouldn't blame anyone if they would criticize it as another cheap little gimmick for people to go and watch The Simpsons. I remember a little way back, I think it was in this year, during the season finale of The Simpsons, they decided to take it a step further and make the first ever live animated show where Homer would go and talk to people on the phone. And in that regard, yeah, everybody can see through it that it was a cheap little gimmick. And it really was. Like, I saw clips of it, and yeah, that honestly really sucked. It really did. But considering that we have this right now, and it is related to the couch gags, would this be considered a gimmick? Would this actually be considered smarter marketing than it was before? In fact, there is actually one bonus little thing I forgot to mention previously. It was taking a quote that apparently Homer actually made a comment about this situation by teaming up with Google to bring Simpsons into virtual reality with that little clip, saying, "At first we had concerns about working with Google because we didn't know who they were, but then we Googled the company and we were very impressed." So that, I have to admit, that was actually very cute. And the thing is, maybe it could be actually pretty cool. And like I said before, technically you don't need to watch the entire episode when experiencing the virtual reality thing. And plus the fact that also they are going to give out some special Google Cardboard limited edition Simpsons theme of those things. Like, I can imagine that it could be highly possible that people are going to get their hands on it, do whatever they want, like just experience it a little bit, and they're going to put it on eBay as a ridiculous price, because I can imagine that as a pretty interesting Simpsons memorabilia that collectors would definitely want to go and get their hands on. But this is honestly something I might consider checking out, maybe. And that is a big maybe, rather if I'll have nothing to do and I'll just be bored and probably just go check out that. Like, the same thing with the Treehouse of Horror episode. I don't know, it's been a while since I've seen an episode of The Simpsons, but maybe it would be worth it just to rewatch the Treehouse of Horror, but who knows? All you have to do, if you guys want to go and check out the Treehouse of Horror couch gag through virtual reality, all you have to do is go get the Google Spotlight Stories app, either on iOS and Android, and just see for yourself to see The Simpsons in virtual reality. Now, for our next story right here, this is going to be for all of you aspiring voice actors out there. And this could be a little chance to enter upon a little project that could definitely intrigue many. And what I am talking about is actually the upcoming Yu-Gi-Oh! Film, Yu-Gi-Oh! The Dark Side of Dimensions, which is going to be the great big comeback of characters such as Yugimoto, Seto Kaiba, Yami Yugi, Joey Wheeler, Tristan Taylor, Taya Gardner, and all those characters. They're going to be making a great big comeback in an all-new adventure and an all-new film, which the Japanese have already seen, but soon it'll be coming out here. However, it seems that 4K media is going to give people the opportunity to go and be a part of this movie, as they are actually doing a contest for Yu-Gi-Oh! The Dark Side of the Dimensions, and you might have a chance to go and be a voice in it. Now, the one downside to it is that this contest that's going on, it is actually happening as I'm recording this. Going to my source here at Anime News Network, it has stated, people who want to try their hands in the dueling area of voice acting will have two more chances this month to become extras in the English version of the Yu-Gi-Oh! The Dark Side of Dimensions film. 4K Media will hold its second audition contest at the New York Comic Con on October 8th and on October 9th. And for those of you who are a little curious about this is the second one going on. The first one actually happened in late August during the World Championship of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game, which I used to actually play, but nowadays, I think, honestly, I'm semi-retired in a way. I say that because, like, I'm thinking I could go back into it, but it's just that the game honestly sucks now. It's just that, like, it's just dumb, and it's just cheap, and it's way too expensive now. It's just honestly, like, your opponent has to go and make all these stupid combos with a deck that they have to pay $1,000, which would only cost a fraction in the following months. It's honestly a dumb game nowadays, and Konami seriously ruined it. But anyways, that's just my little stupid rant on the Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading Card Game, which I might go back one day, but we'll see. But, yeah, apparently, they're already having two contests, but if, don't worry, though, there is one more contest that is going to be going on, and that will be in Minneapolis later in October. And, if for those of you who want to know, like, what the prize is, like, are you going to voice a big character? Well, here's the thing. It says, fans can audition for one or two extra voiceover roles in the film. 4K Media will judge auditions on overall sound quality, uniqueness, sound quality, uniqueness, appropriateness of voice to the character, and creative execution. Two winners will each get a spoken line in the North American version of the film, and their names appearing in the credits. So, what is actually very interesting is that if you are interested in getting into voice acting, this could actually be a perfect opportunity to do so. And if you think about the prize, this could actually be a great ticket to enter into voice acting, because you'll already have the credentials into, like, think about it, you would actually have a chance to voice in an animated feature. And that's actually pretty exciting, you know? Like, that would actually help you step up to go into, if ever you want to go into a career into voice acting, or if you're just a fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! And you really want to show your appreciation for it, doing this is actually awesome. Just hearing your voice next to a film with legitimately Yugi and Kaiba, it actually sounds like a lot of fun, you know? That could be a great opportunity for anyone to do it, and I highly encourage, if you're currently at the New York Comic Con, to do so, or if you're gonna go into Minneapolis, then this is honestly a perfect opportunity to go and get it. Unfortunately, I can't really do it right now, considering that I'm still in Canada, and I don't know if they just want to give this to Americans or something like that. Like, I feel like there's much more to this than what's explained. Rather it be just in my source here on Anime News Network, or even on the official links to the Yu-Gi-Oh! Website or what have you. But honestly, there might be more into it. Maybe it's just a US only thing, but this is actually pretty interesting. And I honestly if I had the chance to go and audition for it, I'd absolutely do it. In fact, like, considering how the original Yu-Gi-Oh! Series is one of my favorite TV shows, it actually sounds like a lot of fun. But I do remember, though, that this is not the first time that this happened, though. I do remember a while back, Like, it was back in 2004 when they had Yu-Gi-Oh! The movie Pyramid of Light. They actually did this similar kind of thing where I remember seeing the CDs. They would actually include stickers saying, like, get a chance to be a voice in Yu-Gi-Oh! Which I think it would happen later in either Season 5 or Season 6. And then once that would be done, they also did it for, like, they also held other contests similar to this going into, not necessarily conventions, but I think, like, Planet Hollywood as well. But, yeah, this is, like, the one thing I know for sure is that this is technically not the first time that Yu-Gi-Oh! Would have some kind of contest to let people have a chance to be a voice in a project like this. And it actually does sound pretty exciting. Now, for those of you who are interested in knowing when this movie will be released, technically, it's already out in Japan, so maybe you can find it online somewhere, or maybe even Crunchyroll. But if you're waiting for the dub to be released, having voices like Dan Green and Eric Stewart reprise their popular roles as Yugi and Kaiba, then you'll have to wait in early 2017 for the movie's American release. And so finally, we got Matt's Pick of the Week, and this is something that would relate a little bit to one of the previous stories that I talked about with Meg LaFauve being a director in Gigantic, giving an opportunity for a female to become a to have a woman to become a director of an animated feature or just an animated project in general. And that actually shows some good projects in the industry, showing how talented women can actually have a chance to play in the big leagues. However, this example I have right here for the Pick of the Week is kind of the opposite, where Disney is making good progress, Adult Swim is not. So apparently, in recent news, Mike Lazo, the vice president and the creative director at Adult Swim, has entered upon a bit of controversy regarding his hiring practices at the company, where it is actually very rare that they would find a woman working for Adult Swim. Apparently, statistics actually say that one in five people who work at Adult Swim are actually women. And among all the creators of the shows, like the people in charge of a project or they created a series, there's no such thing as a woman creator at Adult Swim, apparently. But apparently, Mike Lazo did a little bit of a comment regarding why is it that there isn't enough women working at Adult Swim, or there isn't women who are like the big bosses working on a series. And he actually stated, when you put women in the writer's room, you get conflict, not comedy. And that is actually very poor choice of words, and a lot of people got mad at him. So what Mike Lazo did is that he decided to go and try to soften the blow and try to explain himself regarding his comment. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. Yeah, he's just digging himself deeper. He's just digging a much bigger hole than he has before. Listen to this. What I actually said was women don't tend to like conflict. Comedy often comes from conflict, so that's probably why we or others have so few female projects. But then he also added, nonetheless, this was a dumb answer to a good question, as Lucille Ball and Gilda Radner to Amy Poehler and Amy Schumer prove my statement as a load of generalized nonsense. And I'm going to be very honest with you guys, that new answer that he put in on Reddit, that's honestly a lot worse than the first one, because if it's true that women don't like to add in conflict to material, then they cannot work in the entertainment industry in general. If I may take a quote here from David Lynch, you need contrast and conflict in order to tell a story. So this is literally filmmaking 101. And what he's trying to say is that women cannot do that. Are you freaking kidding me? Very poor choice of words, Mr. Lazo. Extremely poor choice of words. My God. And honestly, this is a bit of a sad truth regarding the animation industry. It is actually pretty well known that when it comes to animation, whether it be in feature films or working on television, being a woman in that field is really not that easy. And it's extremely difficult for them to climb on top, to be ahead of a project, rather be a creator of a show or director of a movie or any of that kind of stuff. In fact, you can actually go and ask Lauren Faust, who actually, I'm sure in several interviews, she actually did reflect upon being a woman in the animation field, and she even tries to explain how it's extremely difficult for her, you know, to actually get some of her own projects going. Like, it wasn't easy for her, you know, to get into how she is today with My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, and often she will find some hardships, like being kicked out at Sony Pictures Animation because of so many conflicts with Medusa, and, you know, like, she ended up quitting, or they fired her, I don't know. It's Sony Pictures Animation. They always do something stupid no matter what. But anyways, going into this, what is actually very interesting is that the reactions of what's, like, the reaction to what Mike Lazzo said, and of course the common one that you're going to find is that people want to find a solution to this and say that Adult Swim should go and hire more women, which honestly, I'm not gonna say that. It's not really the case. We shouldn't go and ask Adult Swim to actually do something about this situation. What I want to do is ask the female animators to do something about it. All the women in animation, all the women artists who want to go into this field. This is the time that you ladies should go out there and really amp up your game to really prove Mike Lazzo wrong, to prove Adult Swim wrong, that you ladies are actually capable of doing something great, that you can actually go and create some awesome TV shows. Now is the time to really put up your A game and really show them what you got. Now, I understand that the road is going to be tough, and even though the prejudice will still be there as a woman, but you really gotta shine. Like, this is why you really have to go and truly shine your talents to show the capabilities of what you got. You know that this is an industry that will not hand everything to you on a silver platter. That's why you gotta work hard enough to improve your craft every single time. That's why you gotta go out there and really show your worth. Show that you can really be a prominent artist, that you could be a fantastic storyteller. I mean, look at Meg LaFauve. You know, she really proved herself by being an Oscar-nominated writer for Inside Out, and now she has become a director for Gigantic. She didn't just come in because Disney wants to hire more women as directors and stuff like that. It's not like that. It's because Meg LaFauve proved her talents to Disney, that she has what it takes to make a fantastic feature film. And that is why she is now a director for a Disney animated feature like Gigantic. And that is what you should do, ladies. You need to go out there and prove the industry that you are more than just a pretty face and a pretty body, that you're capable of making some beautiful art with the medium of animation. Just go out there and, you know, show what you got to companies like Adult Swim and present your work. Present how you are capable of making some great adult comedy that could be up there in the same ranks of Space Ghost Coast to Coast, Rick and Morty, and what have you. Just show that you are capable of doing something great. Take the, you know, for every prejudice that you hear about women in animation or what have you, or something negative, don't go out there and act like an idiotic activist and whine and complain in the comments section like a raging lunatic social justice warrior. What you should do is to take the opportunity to prove yourself that you are a great artist. You know, words mean absolutely nothing, but your art will say everything. That is going to show that you can be a great artist. That is what you should do. Go improve your craft. Prove people like Mike Lazzo and companies like Adult Swim that you women are capable of doing something amazing, that you can offer something great at the table. But anyways, that is all that I have to say about this, and that is all that I've got for this week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on Twitter at animat505. If you are listening to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little favor and go and rate and review this episode? That would be wonderful. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that little like button on our video and leave us a little comment on your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next week, see you later, dudes!